You're listening to SBS News.
The 46th Parliament of Australia has begun work in Canberra, welcoming 19 new senators and 27 new members, and a new Governor-General, David Hurley.
I wish you well as you proceed in your service of our good and decent country. And with these words, it is my duty and my very great pleasure to declare the 46th Parliament of the Commonwealth of Australia open.
The number of women in the Australian Parliament is at a record high, with women now making up a third of all federal MPs following the May election. The Liberal National Coalition now has 28 women in the Parliament, 14 in the lower house and 14 in the Senate. While it is an increase from the previous term, it's almost half of Labor's 46 female representatives, 28 MPs and 18 senators. New member for Gilmore, Fiona Phillips, says Labor is now closer to making its quota of 50% women by 2025.
The Labor Party obviously has done a lot of work, obviously creating a culture where we have more females. And I'm just so lucky. I mean, what wonderful role models I have, like Tanya Plibersek, Linda Burney, Penny Wong. The list just goes on and on.
But the new Liberal member for Moncrief, Angie Bell, says quotas don't quite work for her party.
And we essentially, as a party, believe in reward for effort. And that's why I'm in the Liberal Party and the Liberal National Party in Queensland. Being a woman is not a barrier in the Liberal National Party. So I've never, ever been bullied by anybody in the party. And I can say that hand on heart. So I can't speak for anybody else.
The first day of the new parliamentary term was devoted to tradition and ceremony. Parliament hit a sombre tone on its second day, both houses pausing for a day of tribute for the late Australian Prime Minister Bob Hawke. Hailed as the longest-serving Labor Prime Minister and a giant in the world of politics, Prime Minister Scott Morrison remembered Bob Hawke as a man whose influence crossed the political divide.
Australians loved him just as he loved them. There was a great romance that played itself out in every part of this land with Bob Hawke. They knew each other, he and the Australian people. They forgave each other. They understood each other's virtues, and they identified with each other's weaknesses. In Bob Hawke's own words, it was a love affair.
Opposition leader Anthony Albanese also reflected on a life well lived.
He was at once our leader and our cheerleader. He was ahead of us, calling us on, and yet somehow he was also walking alongside us and for good measure giving us an encouraging push from behind. Bob was hardly a stranger to ambition, but his ambition embraced the rest of us. He knew we were capable of better, and he knew we could do it together.
It was a moment of calm and a rare display of unity before the floodgates opened with the Coalition's multi-billion dollar tax cut package taking centre stage. After an easy path through the lower house, the government secured promises for the necessary 4 crossbench votes to get the bill passed in the Senate. And Labor bowed to the inevitable, with Treasury spokesman Jim Chalmers announcing Labor too would support the plan.
We won't oppose the full package if it comes to the Senate unamended, because our highest priority is to make sure that Australians do receive that tax cut next week.
But as it was debated in the Senate, Green Senator Nick McKim drew attention to the state of play in the 46th Parliament.
Let me make a blindingly obvious observation. The government does not have a majority in the Senate. This Senate has not been given a mandate by the Australian people to pass the government's agenda unaltered. If that's what the people wanted, they would have put the government in a majority in this place. But they didn't. They've elected a balance of power Senate. And for too long, the major parties have used their collective majority in this place to determine how the Senate operates.
But the Senate clearly failed to influence government policy in its first test, and Treasurer Josh Frydenberg was in high spirits.
It's absolutely fundamental that it's not the government's money, it's the people's money. and our tax cuts encourage aspiration, reward for effort, and allow Australians to earn more and to keep more of what they earn.
The woes continued for Labor, with senior party executive Noah Carroll quitting his job in light of the party's shock election defeat, and union boss John Setcar launching a challenge in the Supreme Court to stop his expulsion from the party. Press freedom also featured in this week of politics, following AFP raids on the ABC and News Corp journalist Annika Smethurst. The government pushed for the Parliamentary Joint Committee on Intelligence and Security to oversee an inquiry limited to national security laws rather than a wider probe tackling defamation and whistleblower protection, as media bosses have called for. Meanwhile, Home Affairs Minister Peter Dutton introduced revised anti-terror legislation to the lower house, which could temporarily prevent citizens suspected of terrorism from returning to Australia for up to 2 years.
We'll make sure that we do whatever we can to keep Australians safe, because we know, particularly Australian citizens who have a constitutional right to return back to our country, we need to do that in a managed way.
The Coalition has also sought advice on former Liberal Party ministers Christopher Pyne and Julie Bishop, who are at the centre of a mounting inquiry into whether their new jobs outside of politics breach the Ministerial Code of Conduct. With the first 3 days of sitting over, parliamentarians will have 2 weeks off before returning for a fortnight of sittings from Monday, the 22nd of July. Jennifer Scherer, SBS World News.
If you enjoyed this, you can find more SBS features on our website or from your favourite podcaster like iTunes, Spotify, Acast, Stitcher, or Wooshka.